is setting out here to set the stage for Jesus, who's going to be the main thrust of his gospel and Jesus' saving message. But it's interesting, how does he start his gospel out? This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then he goes immediately to the Old Testament and then talking about this John guy. But if we have a real appreciation and reflect on this John guy, we'll really get who Jesus is. So, first of all, he gives this passage from Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert. Now, you got to think that the people that Mark is speaking to and writing to, they know the Old Testament inside and out. They wouldn't have referred to it as the Old Testament. That was the scriptures for them, right? And those scriptures formed their thought life, their culture, their day-to-day activity. Every part of their life was formed and shaped by the Word of God for them. And so they would have immediately known what Mark was talking about when he says, a voice of one crying out in the desert. Because this is going to be the anticipation of the one they've been waiting for 2,000 years, the deliverer, the Messiah, the anointed one. They all had their hopes on this one who was going to be sent by God to fulfill all of the promises and to make them a mighty nation, because they had a certain thought of how, an idea of what this Messiah was going to be like. And so, can you imagine? Now, there were individuals that the people thought could be the Messiah or anointed one. But John takes on special significance, because what do we hear about John? Well, that all of Judea, the whole countryside of Judea, and all of Jerusalem went out to see him. And not just to see him, they bought into his message and what? And were baptized with repentance. Think about these qualifying words that Mark's using here. Two-thirds of the city, a third of the city. No, all of Jerusalem. Okay, so there's magnitude here. There's awesomeness. That the entirety of the city of Wichita, all of them, everybody went to see, oh, something big must be happening here, right? He's building him up, this incredible figure. Jesus is going to say about John that no man was born of woman is greater than John the Baptist, right? And did they go out just to hear him? No, they bought into his message. They confessed their sins. And you know, this was not a happy Santa Claus message. This was John the Baptist dressed, his meals consisted of locusts and honey and dressed in camel's hair and a belt. And you think he smelled good? No, he didn't. He lived a life of radical ascetical life, a life of penance, right? And so there must have been something about him that really spoke to the people. And so they thought that he was the one. All right, now we've set the stage for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John is baptizing. He hears about Jesus and he says, what about him? I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. So we have this incredible, amazing figure in John, to the degree that the people think they're ready to buy in, that he is the one that's going to save them and lead them. And John is saying, I'm not even worthy to untie the strap of his sandal. Do you know, okay, that would be below the level of a servant or a slave. So what's a picture that Mark's trying to paint here for us? Okay, John is awesome, but he's like an ant compared to Christ. And so, what do you think the people are going to say when John responds with, you know, this acknowledgement that he's nothing compared to this guy? Whoa. It leads It's going to lead their hearts and their minds to a sense of awe and reverence before Christ. The proper disposition, the proper attitude that one should have towards the Son of God. So that he's one for the reader and the listener. He's wanting to build the right spirit for us as we anticipate and listen to the good news and receive the Savior of the world. Because isn't it true? It's like we take, you know, through habit, familiarity, we take it for granted, right? And we don't seek to appreciate what's before us. We know we do that with everything in, you know, day-to-day life. That's just the way things roll, right? Even our close relationships, spouses, we take them for granted, right? Children, job, we become presumptuous in that regard. And so this gospel is great for this time of year because it's like it stirs us up to a greater appreciation of what's before us and what we're doing. We're not just coming here as a social club and hearing some nice words. We're coming here to encounter Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that this man named John the Baptist, whom throughout the last 2,000 years, no man has been greater than John the Baptist. This man can't, he's not even worthy to unfasten the thong of his sandal. This is who we are encountering. Bam! What if we got that? Just a little bit. What if we got that just a little bit? What would happen with our hearts? What would happen with the way we think? What would happen with the way that we prioritize our day? We would have complete change of mind and heart, complete metanoia, complete penance. Our sins would probably just fall away because we would see and recognize who we are before. And these things wouldn't even have any value anymore. You know, this week, or this year, celebrating the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, when the, there was five or six apparitions to the children, but there were three preliminary appearances by this angel to the children. The angel was preparing the children, and the angel taught the three children how to pray, and they loved this type of prayer. It was basically getting on their knees and prostrating themselves completely with their head to the ground to God. You know, as an act of complete submission and worship. That was a way for them to recognize who they were and who they were before. So we might kind of think about that for ourselves in regards to little things that we can do to better appreciate the awesomeness of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know, how we prepare for Mass, our attentiveness at Mass, how we dress for Mass, how we come up to receive communion, how we kneel and pray, all those things matter because our spirit often follows our body, right? If we're reverent with our body, it's not automatic, but more than likely the norm is what our soul and our spirit will follow. So, a greater appreciation. That's what we could ask the Holy the grace of this week, maybe. Ask the Holy Spirit for a greater appreciation of who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is for me. That out of this new awareness and appreciation and regard for God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I might be more willing to let go of those sins that I'm holding so fast to.